Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, September 30th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 87, paragraph 2, which begins with, "If circumstances warrant." Today's readers are Christina M. for the 12 Steps, Laura R. for the 12 Traditions, Mary B., Anne Marie M., and Barbara W. Please stay on for a newcomer greeter and announcements at the end of the meeting as well. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, which would have been Wednesday, 9/29, September 29th, is 17835. That's 17,835. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 17844. That's 17,844 for today's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Christina M. to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you so much. Good morning. My name is Christina M. and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service in September, and I pass.
Thank you so much for your service, Christina M. Okay, and now I'll ask Laura R. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 72, paragraph 2. We are on page 87, paragraph 2. And I will ask Mary D. to please begin reading for us. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Elaine. You really had me going there when you said page 82. Thank God you corrected yourself. All right. Good morning, my friends. My name is Mary B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Page 87, paragraph 2. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. We belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion. We attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. So for us today, there are a lot more literature available, OA-approved literature that we can purchase from OA. But, you know, we've done all this work now. We've come up to step 11. And we need to keep, or I need to keep, in conscious contact with my higher power, my source, because lack of power was my problem. And I find I can do that through morning prayer and meditation. And I took the third 7-11 step prayer. I do God grant me. I do a set aside prayer. I might do an Our Father too. And then I read page 552 and page 417 in the back of the book, acceptance and when if you have a resentment. And then I do a 20-minute meditation, a guided meditation in the morning. And I'll tell you, folks, it just sets my day perfectly. I'm in a line. I take some time and listen also, see if there's anything my higher power wants me to do for the day, so that I can be of maximum service to him and my fellows. And I'll tell you, I've been listening to Vision for over 4 years now, and I am just reaping the benefits. I still can't believe it's been over 4 years since I binged my brains out. What's with that picture? I think that's all I have for today. Anxious to hear what the rest of you folks have to say, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary B. Thank you for getting us started. So, though we value everybody's experience, strength, and hope, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the past couple days, please press star 1 to unmute and let us know. We'd like to comment on page 87, paragraph 2. Star 1 to unmute.
I'm Shannon M. in Seattle.
Shannon M. Anybody else?
Linda B.
Linda B.
Noelle E., Louisiana.
Noelle E. in Louisiana. Anybody else want to get in this lineup? Got plenty of room.
Jess S. from Wisconsin.
Jess S. Okie doke. Well, let's start out with Shannon M., Linda B., Noelle. I didn't get your last first initial of your last name, Noelle, and Jess F. Okay, Shannon M., please start us up. Star 1 to unmute, please. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is Shannon M., recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic in Seattle, Washington, and this paragraph really hit me this morning because of an experience I had with my best friend a couple months ago, and I had been, you know, coming back from relapse and really looking at my relationship with God and the prejudices that I had against spiritual matters, and I sort of have this, I've had this attitude. My best friend is religious. She's a member of the religion I was raised in when I was a kid, and she actually joined it as I was leaving back in our early 20s. I'm 43 right now, and we talk a lot about God. We have those kinds of conversations, but I always dismissed her in my, you know, and I, you know, in my mind, I did 12-step work. I did the big book. It says, choose your own consciousness of God. I really had mind closed to religious matters and to people who practice a faith. I'm one of those people who says like they're spiritual, not religious. And we were talking one day, and she had something big happen in her life that was a real betrayal in her life. And I was kind of like, well, you know, God sends us like things to test us. We're like, you know, I just had this like, you know, God's out there, like, you know, moving us around like pawns on a chessboard, and when these things, bad things come, that's so like, God's trying to get us to come closer to God. And I just had this like really fixed idea of what bad things in life meant. And she was like, actually, she's like, I can't believe that. I have to believe that God, that the good things that happen, even though the bad things happen, that's where God is. And I was like thunderstruck because I had had some real personal roadblocks in my personal conception of God and in my relationship to a higher power. And, you know, I had a history of relapse to show that, you know, lack of power was my dilemma. And there were obstructions to that power. And I was having a really hard time seeing it. And then like 2 days later, I was listening to a podcast, a big book study podcast, and the woman giving it said, you know, it's our job to see that, not to attribute the bad things to God, but to see that the good things that happen in spite of the bad, are due to God. And there it was, like two times I got that message. Just a couple of days apart, and it radically changed my relationship to God. And thanks so much. I'll just quickly say it was that moment when I stopped being closed-minded and started to see where religious people were right. And I had that because of this line in the big book. I think you know, I finally started to listen, and it changed my relationship to God. And for that, I was so grateful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Shannon M. Linda B., you're up next, followed by Noelle.
Thank you. This is Linda B., compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. Morning meditation. A very important part of my day. I'm not much of a morning person, so I'm very, very groggy first thing in the morning. But I still do this to the best of my ability. And I do. I love the prayers that we have been given in our program, and I cherish them and I use them. I find I do have some special prayers, meditation prayers, to recite prior to doing a still or a silent meditation that I find very helpful. And I attend a spiritual retreat every summer, and the facilitator gives us these different ideas for our spiritual practices in the morning, and they're very helpful. Every now and again, I find my morning meditation to get routine and the same thing day after day after day, and it's not speaking to me, or it's not working, and I need to change it up a bit to have it become more interesting and more keeps me attentive. And recently I've started to add music, and I have an app on my phone with some songs, and it's amazing how it just sounds like it's God singing to me. And some of the titles, like, it starts with just a few bars of Be Still, and then it goes on to I Am With You, and You and I as Morning Breaks, and All is a Gift. And it's really brought my morning meditation alive again for me, and something that I really look forward to. And that's something that I have learned over the years, is to add something new now and again to keep it fresh and bright and welcoming. And some of the routine, like I do, like I said, as I started, I'm not, you know, criticizing any of the prayers in our program. They all have a place to play. And we always have, of course, our evening prayer and meditation. And so that's what I find that's working with me. It's something I never stop doing. Sometimes I take more time than other days, depending on my day and appointments. But it is a very special. It's lonely living alone, but in the morning like that, because I do live alone, I don't have any interruptions. Other than I did have a little dog, and in my afternoon time of meditation, I would sit on a meditation bench, and my dog would get a blanket and curl up in her blanket and lie there by my bench and meditate along with me. And I miss her every day. Thank you for the gentle reminder. And I miss her every day when I do that afternoon meditation, so I need to change that up a little bit. But thank you for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Linda D. Noelle, you're up next, and if you could share the first initial of your last name, that would be great, and Jeff S. will follow you.
Hi, it's Noelle E. from Louisiana.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service. Thanks, everybody, for sharing on the line. It's so powerful. If circumstances warrant, we ask our husbands or children to join us in morning meditation. It's sometimes how I read that line when I'm reading this passage in my mind. And that line right there is, it's really my higher power's grace that I read every morning of reminding me that this is a program of spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. Because if I waited for, you know, it to be completely silent and uninterrupted and everything like that, I mean, I would have no practice. There is no telling when anyone in my house is going to be awake and going to be, you know, crawling on me or anything like that, with having three kids under six. So I don't know. I just, I, this paragraph means so much to me, and I've shared it with fellows, you know, if I'm have a baby on my lap or something like that. Higher power shows me that, you know, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, that, you know, the desire to please and be present with God in my morning meditation is really what I'm meant to be doing, no matter how it looks on certain days. It's just breaking down all the perfectionism in me and drawing me closer to my higher power. The other line that really stands out in this passage is, be quick to see where religious people are right. That's so important for me. You know, the God of my indoctrination is just another spiritually sick, just another product of the spiritually sick people like me in my life and in the world. And it, you know, I every time I read that, I can remember that there is so much good from, you know, all the denominations around me and, you know, the years of Christian education, the lifetime of Christian education. You know, and sometimes I think of it that I endured, but also that I was given. I wouldn't have that perspective now that God could be anything if I didn't know what God wasn't to me. So, yeah, just so much to be grateful for in this paragraph. And I'm on step 11 right now, so it's shifting from what it's been for me previously as I go through the steps again. And I'm just grateful for this moment. I was meant to hear this message this morning. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much for sharing, Noelle. And Jess S., you are up next. And you'll be, Jess, before you start, just let me let people know, because we'll take some more people to comment after Jess shares. And we're commenting on page 87, paragraph 2, which begins with, if circumstances warrant. Thank you so much, Jess S. Please share with us.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jess S. I'm a compulsive overeater from Wisconsin, gratefully practicing the solution today. Yeah, this is a great paragraph, and it's really been my experience the last, probably the last week or so. My something really shifted in my relationship with my higher power in a way that I realized, if through readings and people in this program and speakers, that I really had a habit of hiding from my higher power and hiding from life, hiding from a higher power. And even in prayer and meditation, you know, I had been trained in a very specific form of meditation, and there was another type that I had heard about for years and years, and I thought, oh, well, I already know what that is. I know what that is. And then I was reading a book, and, you know, and I often say the set aside prayer. So please help me set aside everything I know or think I know about you, my, you know, a recovery, my relationships, that I might have a new experience. And so this came up again in readings I was doing, and I started practicing this type. And what it is really being in the presence of my higher power. And, you know, for someone who has hidden for so long in my body, in my life, in my mind, just hiding is natural. But being in the presence, I thought it would be scary or vulnerable. And actually, it's a settling. It's felt like a kind of a settling of myself and a centering of myself. And what that what happens then is me actually being, you know, present in my life and not having to hide and not having, you know, and I often have a lot of anxiety, or I hold on to things very, very tightly, hence the compulsive and compulsive overeater. And, you know, this practice has really helped me loosen loosen a bit, you know, loosen that grip a bit. And yeah, I am just very grateful. And I've realized that it's the experience I need to have, like all the knowledge in the world, just like all the knowledge won't keep me absent. All the knowledge in the world won't give me the experience of trying something new, of doing something different, of practicing in a way that is new and different and a little uncomfortable sometimes. But it keeps me present. Thank you. It keeps me present. And one speaker I've heard says, you know, the highest we'll ever be is human, you know? And so it helps me connect. So anyway, I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you for allowing me to share. Have a good day.
Thank you very much, Jess S. So again, we're sharing on page 87, paragraph 2, as circumstances warrant, and we'd love to hear from you. Though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared for a couple of days, please press star 1 to unmute and let us know.
Kelly H.
I heard Kelly H, and I believe it was Deb E.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else? Star 1 to unmute.
Lindy.
Andy.
Room for more. Okay, we'll go with Kelly H, Deb E, Lindy, and Ann B. Please share with us, Kelly H.
Good morning. Kelly H from North Carolina. And I am just thunderstruck by this paragraph. I've read it several times. I am recovering. I'd say I'm recovered, but it's an ongoing process, as we all know. For me, I've really struggled with step 12 without getting into all of the issues. I've struggled with sponsoring, keeping sponsees. In my own program, I kind of slip away but go back and cling to my sponsor. And like my step 12 is like nutso. And a lot of it is tied to the practice and inconsistency I've been doing with my step 11. So when I read this paragraph, and I have kind of this hypersensitive issue with step 12, and I'm constantly thinking about how I could become better as a sponsor. But this paragraph says, let step 11 bleed into step 12, like it's gentle. It's not like an enormous step difference, like when you're going up a flight of stairs and suddenly that next step is like crazy higher than all the other steps I've been up. So this paragraph says, if circumstances warrant, we ask others, right? And to join us. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's what it is. I'm simply asking another addict to join me. And we're going to talk about spiritual stuff, right? Like, that's it, step 12. And I serve. But this paragraph says, don't disenfranchise step 11 from step 12. In fact, I can't have step 12 unless step 11 happens. And when step 11 is happening, it really is quite a natural progression to step 12. And that suddenly just sounds simpler to me. So I'm so grateful for the shares and the reading and the service today. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
Thank you very much, Kelly H. Deb E., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Lynn D.
Hi, thank you. This is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And meditation eluded me for so many years in program. I've only had a regular practice for probably the last 5 years, maybe. I don't even know, something like that. It was prayer that I really started with. It was prayer that spoke to me the most in step 11 in the beginning because it was a more natural thing for me. I was already into prayer. Although the way I prayed changed completely. It went from, you know, praying out of fear and worry to praying for direction and guidance. And through working step 11, I actually became more open to looking at my religion. And so my prayer includes some religious prayers and then also some program prayers. And I used to always focus on the make sure, make use of what they offer, like be quick to see where religious people are right in this paragraph. And I grew up with this attitude, like religious people were kind of these other people that had nothing to do with me and that were just like kind of not the same kind of human being as me, almost like I felt very detached from anything like that. And practicing the steps has definitely opened my eyes up to where, you know, there are a lot of religious people who speak in ways that are similar to what we share in program, and it's really opened my eyes a lot to that. And so I love my meditation and my prayer meditation routine every day. It's just a part of my whole step 11 routine that I do in the morning. But it's kind of the foundation of it. It's what I started with, and then I build up from there. Yeah, this paragraph really speaks to me, and I think I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dev E. Lindy, you are up next, followed by Ann B.
Thank you so much for your service. I'm Lindy, recovered in San Diego, California, and I remember my old tape used to always say, I used to tell people, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And I thought that was okay, but that was not enough growing up for sure. And then when I got in program, I would do bits of, you know, things would stick for a while and then they wouldn't. So I remember, you know, when my kids were little, I was like, the only time I have to myself to do any type of silent prayer meditation was in the shower. So I would set the timer in the shower and, you know, meditate for 5 minutes, you know, just standing there under the hot water. And then, you know, slowly it would adapt. And I would have these, when my kids were in grade school, I would go on these long walks and have these great God talks, you know, open dialogue. I probably looked like the craziest person walking around Balboa Park, but it would have these, you know, out loud conversations with God, kind of like two-way prayer, not the same, but I think it was my higher power getting me there. And so it slowly evolved. And finally, I've been in the program for over 20 years. I have 8 years of abstinence. And finally this year, I think it's only been a little bit, so I can't say that it's a habit or it's actually stuck yet, but I have this great morning routine, and I think it's a combination of being willing, being in the committed step study, and just finally realizing that I need to add stuff. I just need to keep on continually adding stuff to program to switch it up and not get complacent and not be on autopilot, which is like my comfort zone, right? I like to do the things I like to do, and it sticks. And if you throw a wrench in it, I get all like kind of, you know, why me victim mentality. And I need to get out of that. So I take about 20 minutes in the morning for prayer and meditation. It's very simple. It's nothing that's been, you know, I don't try to, you know, recreate the wheel or anything. It's a very simple meditation. In fact, it's the one from that we use during our meditation in our step study. I talk with God. I do a couple prayers, third step, seventh step. I like the My Creator prayer, seventh step, and Sorry, I'm blanking on it. Roseanne Square. Oh, thank you so much. With that, I will pass. Thank you so much for your service.
Thank you very much, Lindy. And before we hear from Ann B., hang on just a second, Ann B., I just want to let people know that we will have time for a few more shares after Ann B. shares, and we're on page 87, paragraph 2. Thanks so much, Ann B. Please share with us.
Hi, this is Ann B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 16 years, and I live in the state of New York. I've been sitting listening to these meetings, and I've been really passive for several weeks, and that's not good because, you know, there's that saying, if you don't share, you weren't there. And, you know, I had my first mystical experience when I was a child, and I've always taken those experiences for granted, that I could reach out and I could have those experiences. And because I take them for granted, I don't make time for them, you know. And it wasn't until I joined OA, which was in 2004, that I realized that I could use those experiences with respect to my eating disorder. And for me, joining program, it was kind of like that scene at the end of Wizard of Oz when Dorothy clicks her heels together. It's like, oh, I had these shoes all along. And, you know, people, and I do belong to a religious group, and but I had not been focusing on that side of my life because I made my ex-husband, my children, my job into higher power, and I thought those things were more important than God, and that was killing me, and I didn't know it. And those things, you know, they say anything you put before program, you're going to lose, right? I lost my career. I lost my marriage. My kids have special needs, and I sort of lost my dreams with respect to them. And also, they mostly prefer to be with my ex, which is frustrating to me that I am not preferred. And I have to come on these meetings to keep remembering that it's all about higher power. It's not about what I want, and I can't take that for granted, and I do. And I say, okay, I meditate. I listen to a meditation CD every night as I'm falling asleep. That's my meditation, and it certainly does help me. But it's kind of passive, you know, and the pandemic has really helped me attend a lot of spiritual events all over the country that on Zoom that I wouldn't otherwise have attended. But the thing about Zoom is while it does allow me to attend those events that I wouldn't have otherwise attended, it also allows me to multitask. And that's not as good as being fully present, right? And so I
gentle reminder.
Okay, so it's good that I do at least listen to this meeting, and it reminds me of what's important, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Ann B. We have time for three more shares. Who would like to comment on page 87, paragraph 2? Please press star 1 to unmute if you haven't shared in the last couple days.
Anne Marie M.
Anne Marie M. Anybody else? Well, why don't you please share with us, Anne Marie M., while others are thinking about it, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Appreciate you, Elaine, and your service. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina. Through God's grace, I am recovered from compulsive overeating. And recovered meaning that I no longer have that desire. The 10-step promises have come true for me. The obsession has been removed, not by me, by God. And that's why I always say through God's grace so that I can remember. I am so appreciative that this paragraph is here, that we can, we don't have to rely on just OA conference approved literature. There's so much more out there. God has provided so much for us. You know, there are rabbis, priests, psychiatrists, just so much, so many other ways for us to help. I'm Christian, and I've had some Christian friends walk away from the 12 steps and the big book in particular because they're so inclusive. And I know of a Jewish person that has left the program too because they don't like the word higher power. And so I'm just glad that I've been able to be open-minded and not be turned off by, you know, the big book calling my God higher power. I know who my God is. I'm comfortable with that, and I'm confident in his works in my life. And that's all that matters. But I want to be inclusive to anyone that is, you know, atheist and is lost, if you know, and that can be included in a higher power, and to have, you know, read the We Agnostics chapter and understand that they're not alone with this. The other thing I very much appreciate was hearing so many people not being perfect at meditating, because I am so far from that, so far from being perfect with it. I am a multitasker, and someone just told me yesterday that multitasking can lower a person's IQ, and because I'm not sure why, but it was somebody that she had heard speak. It was a doctor that spoke on it. And so, you know, I multitask during this meeting, and it would be so much more beneficial for me to sit quietly and to listen to the meeting and concentrate fully only on the meeting. So that's a lot. You know, I need to practice that. But I do sit. Not every day, but I sit quietly and I listen. And doing that two-way prayer that I've learned, I've been doing it for 8 or 9 months now, and that has helped me. Thank you. That has helped me practice the quietness. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Anne Marie. Okay, we still have time for a couple more shares. Would anybody like to comment?
Juanice.
Okay, I heard Juanice. And who is the other person?
Jeannie.
And Jeannie. Okay, great. And Juanice, can you give us the first initial of your last name before you share? And then we'll have Jeannie.
Sure. Juanice, N as in Nancy, from Southern California.
Thank you.
And I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And so grateful to be here today. And just wanted to share on where it says, be quick to see where religious people are right and make use of what they offer. The first thing that comes to mind when it says, be quick to see where they're right, is that it's the same principle as identification, looking for the similarities instead of the differences. I came from a long religious background all of my life and got disillusioned, a little misguided, and other things, but coming into the program of recovery, and the biggest difference that I could see was the self-examination that I have now that I didn't have then, that made such a difference in my life. And what that caused me to do was to say, oh, they're wrong, how could they be right, they're not even looking at themselves. You know, what I saw was a principle of spiritual perfection instead of spiritual progress. That was my experience in the religion I'm still in, but I left because of these things. And so through 10 steps, I realized that everything in life is not right or wrong. And I thought either you were right or you were wrong. Sometimes it's just different. And so now I can look back at my faith and say, you know, who am I to decide what these people need to be doing? You know, maybe they don't need to do the self-examination like I do. Maybe they don't. It's none of my business. Actually, it's just none of my business. So how I see where they are right, we both you know, both the program of recovery, the process, and my faith, we believe in something bigger than ourselves. We both believe we should be of service to God and to man. We both believe in trying to treat people well and treat people right, you know, to the best of our ability. So it's just really helped me to relax into my faith and not worry about stuff that's just not my business. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Juanice Ann. And Jeannie, if we could have the first initial of your last name, and you will likely be our last share today. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jeannie S., and I'm from Virginia, Northern Virginia. Thanks, everyone, for their lead and for the shares. This was really eye-opening for me, this paragraph, because I read the other paragraphs before it, but when I read the first sentence, if circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us, I would just not read it because, well, I don't have wives, I don't have husbands, I don't have living children, I don't have friends that are engaging, I don't have anyone who lives with me. So I would just shut it off. And somehow reading that today, I realized that I could bring in, I have a son who died early, and I could just ask my son to join me. And it would help me feel that that quiet time that I allow for my meditation to include him with me. And I guess normally what I do is just say a few prayers, and they vary which prayers I say. And sometimes I read scripture first, and I always say a rote prayer that I grew up with. And then I just sit. I sit for 20 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes, and just listen to hear my higher power's instructions for me. And I also like where it talks about members of religious bodies, because my journey in 12 steps has taken me a long way from where I was when I came in regarding the faith that I grew up with, the religious institution that I grew up with. And it was never about the fundamental, the Bible or those prayers. It was never about that. It was always the things that people said to me that shut me right, that I allowed myself to close my mind and shut down. And so since then, I have been able to be a little more, put boundaries up. I just not as open as, just I'm not wide open until I know that person before I share my deepest heart. And also when I just use that time in the religious service to as a form of meditation as well. And I really, because to me, that's what it's about. The rest is a structure that helps me go and
gentle reminder.
And so that's the goal for me, is to connect and to hear my higher power's voice. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Jeannie S., and everybody that has shared today. So appreciate it. We're going to transition the meeting now by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Anne-Marie M. please read a vision for you?
Good morning. This is Anne-Marie M. again, gratefully recovered through God's grace. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand him, God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.